Hey there, horror fans. This is Paolo Matteo, fantasy and sci-fi writer, and you're listening to the Jennifer Caress Horror Podcast.
So I'm here with Elias Caress, hypnotist extraordinaire. Now, how long have you been doing hypnotizing?
I don't know. What time is it?
All right, how long have you been a hypnotist?
Shut up. A couple years now. I've been certified for a couple years now, but I've been studying it, like, ever since I was a little kid. I would, like, cut class and go to the library and read hypnosis books when I was a kid. And
cut class, huh?
Yeah, I did that because class was boring, and school teaches you nothing anymore.
That's true.
Listen to that, kids. School teaches you nothing.
So as a hypnotist, what all do you do?
I
mean, obviously you hypnotize people, but what? Go further into it for me.
Well, there's a lot of stuff I do. I tell people when I say I'm a hypnotist, people either say, oh, you help people quit smoking, or they say, oh, you make people do the chicken dance on stage. and I do those things, yeah. But there's more to it than that. It's like it is an important education, I believe, into your own mind. And I believe that it's important. I believe that a lot of people neglect their own personal introspective education. I think that society and each individual will be much better off if they took a little bit more time to understand themselves a little bit better.
That's a very good point.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, well, the external world is full of so many stimulations. It's difficult to go inward sometimes.
It is, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying that people could, almost everyone could stand to learn a lot about themselves that they would be surprised about.
Oh, and definitely. I think that's also the thing, though. People are afraid. But, you know, you're afraid of what you'll find, maybe.
People are afraid, yes. Yeah. I've had a lot of people. I get a lot of mixed responses when I tell people I'm a hypnotist. Some people will turn around and leave. Some people will not look me in the eye.
Wow.
I've had a couple of people fall into a trance right then.
Uh-huh.
They'll just fall into a trance. And after I say I'm a hypnotist, they'll look in my eyes and fall into a trance. It's very, very odd. Some people will avoid me. And some people are afraid of me. Some people don't believe in it. They believe it's a myth.
Yeah.
That hypnosis is not true. So I get a lot of variety of response. But some of those people are afraid, yeah.
So what do you say to those people that think it's false? It's
like politics or religion. There's no convincing some people of their deeply seated beliefs.
Now you work a lot with cancer patients.
I do, yes. I volunteer for cancer patients at a cancer center. And I've met a lot of interesting people there. And I've done a lot of good stuff there. I met a professional arm wrestler there.
Wow, I did not know such things as this.
Surprisingly, athletes are very good. They're very strong mentally.
Ah.
And they're some of the best hypnosis subjects, strangely enough. But he was an excellent hypnosis subject, and he had gone through something over 200 surgeries.
Whoa.
For this form of cancer. I'm not a doctor. But his type of cancer, he needed a lot of minor surgeries to remove a lot of small tumors about his body. So he had something over 200, and the doctor said you're probably going to have at least 200 more before he stopped.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so, and I said, so you need help with pain. And he says, oh, God, no, I can take the pain. It's the anxiety.
Aww.
I get that response a lot. Uh-huh. The fear and the anxiety that weighs the pain all in every case that I've seen.
And now you yourself have gone through actual surgery.
Yes.
Without any
I had an pain. Aneurysm in my leg, and I had to go through 3.5 hours of surgery to get removed. And I did it without anesthesia and without any after surgery medication.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just using hypnosis.
Just using hypnosis.
And you hypnotized yourself?
You know, I had a friend of mine help me prepare just because I was a little bit nervous.
Sure.
I had no experience with this.
Yeah.
And so I would rather, looking back on it now, I could have done it by myself. But at the time, I was thinking that it's better to be safe than sorry, because I don't want to be in the middle of surgery when something bad happens.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been bad. So I had another hypnotist friend of mine help me prepare. One of the things he did, he took a spoon and he heated it with a candle,
uh-huh.
and he burned the back of my hand.
Oh.
And we made video of it just to get documentation. And it's not a very good video, or else I'd be more proud of it. Just because like the light wasn't good, and it was on a tripod, so the angles weren't good or anything like that. But it's very funny watching the video. He pinched the back of my hand,
uh-huh.
Just to make sure before he burned me. And I knew he was going to burn me, and I didn't know he was going to pinch me. So when he pinched me, I at first thought it was the hot spoon, and I smelled flesh burning.
Ew.
When his tongue when his fingers touched my hand. What
kind of video was this?
As for science.
Right.
Science video, yes.
Now, when I try to burn you with hot spoons, you get mad at me.
Yeah.
So you didn't actually, the point was to practice.
Yeah, practice
you not
the
feeling pain.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And that was the first time I had ever done anything like this with myself. And I got into all this, the idea of all this, because of the cancer patients, because some of the cancer patients have just gone through the ringer, you know.
They've
gone through horrible experiences. And I was feeling terrible, you know. What place do I have telling these people anything? You know, I have no idea what they're going through. I still have never had cancer or anything like that, but I have a little understanding about pain now. And so I feel more qualified telling them about
that. Yeah, okay.
You know, before when I would say, oh, pain is all in your mind, I really felt bad, like, place do I have to people? But now I can, because now I've gone through quite an experience with this. So
you did the whole 3.5 hour surgery using nothing but hypnosis.
Right, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And hypnosis is still very mysterious to the average person.
Yeah.
Even the doctors. Doctors don't know anything about hypnosis more than anyone else. The surgeon, he only knew that it was possible.
Uh-huh.
But otherwise, he knew nothing about it.
Did the doctors fight you with this, or did they
kind
recommend
of, yeah.
against
no,
it?
No, they were weird. The surgeon I had, he had no personality. And I'm told that that's very common with surgeons, because I guess once you've seen someone's insides, then you have no...
Personalities are just annoying.
Yeah, you don't want to talk to them anymore or whatever, but... yeah, he had no personality. And so I told him, well, he says, oh, you need surgery. I said, oh, I'm a hypnotist. I would like to do it without anesthesia. He kind of looked at me blankly and walked away. And I couldn't
see him just, like, slap you upside the head.
No, so I had to talk to a nurse to go chase him down and say he was serious about that. And so the doctor said, well, okay, fine. And so we went ahead with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah. But during the surgery, he would say things like, oh, he's hypnotized. He can't hear us talk. And then things like that. And so I said, I can hear you just fine. Thank you. And that kind of threw him for a loop, too.
Oh, I imagine, yeah, having your patient during surgery speaking with you.
Yeah, because he's used to having them drugged and groggy and stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah. So
well, that's amazing.
Yeah, the spoons. My friend in the video, when he was burning me, he heated the spoon up and then he touched the back of my hand with it, and I made no reaction. I didn't move or flinch or anything like that. And so you can see him in the video. He kind of gets a confused look and he thinks, oh, maybe the spoon's not hot, and he touches it himself. And you can see him in the video, ah, fuck! Apparently, he didn't expect it to work.
Have you, before you took the classes to be a certified hypnotist, had you ever tried hypnotizing yourself?
Oh, yeah.
And did you have much success with that?
Yes, I did, yeah. You did something about hypnosis that a lot of people don't understand is that it's a natural state.
Right.
Most people have been in a trance many times in their life, and they just don't recognize it. Now, as a hypnotist, one of the things I do is I learn to recognize the signs of hypnosis, and then I know tests to test so if someone is in a trance and test how deep they are.
Uh-huh.
But otherwise, you could be in a trance listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
A very common trance is highway hypnosis.
Oh, yes.
That's the sensation when you're driving and you're just not paying attention. You're completely alert, and if someone were to like stop in front of you, you'd be able to react to that.
Uh-huh.
And you're not asleep, and you're not going to wreck or anything like that. But you may not remember the drive afterwards. You may be thinking of something else. It's also similar to the sensation where you're reading a book and then you rise, you don't remember what you've just been reading.
Oh, okay.
You know, some people could do a whole page.
Yeah.
And suddenly realize, oh, I haven't been paying attention to what I've been reading. That is a form of trance. And that's the same thing that I experienced when I was going through hypnosis. When I was going through the surgery. That's the same sensation, the exact same sensation that I felt. And so most people have it, but most people expect hypnosis to be something like Alice falling down the rabbit hole. And when it's not, they're inevitably disappointed. And so some of the things that I do as a hypnotist are sort of theater.
Yeah.
And so some of the tests that I do to test trance are mostly to convince the subject that, yes, he is in a trance. And they're there for his sake. We can get the job done, whatever job we're doing the hypnosis for, just fine without convincing him.
Yeah.
But I don't want him to leave disappointed thinking, oh, I was never hypnotized. But even then, I was at a party once. I was hired to entertain at a party. And as a mentalist, and that is kind of another thing hard to explain, but I was demonstrating interesting mental phenomena at a party. And someone says, I bet you can't hypnotize me. And I said, well, most of the time hypnosis requires cooperation, so I probably couldn't, but I would like to try something, if you like. And I told him, imagine that your foot is stuck to the floor. Okay, now try to pull it up. And he could not pull his foot off the floor. His foot was stuck to the floor. And then and I told, oh, try as hard as you can. You know, it was like a minute or so
that his
foot was stuck to the floor. I said, okay, now look at me, and you're fine, and your foot is fine, and you can lift it, and you can walk just fine, everything like that. And then he could. And then he looked at me, and he said for the whole, like, everyone in the party stopped what they're doing. And then he looked up at me and he said to everyone in the group, I wasn't hypnotized. I could have lifted my foot off the floor at any time. And I said, why didn't you?
Yeah.
And he just had no answer for that. He just says, I could have. I wasn't hypnotized. Nice. There's nothing you could do for that.
So. You're right, yeah.
But that's an example. He was an older guy, and that's an example of someone who doesn't spend enough time, in my opinion, with introspection.
Yeah.
And I believe that leads to health problems. The lack of introspection leads to it. Because if you had like a pain or a bad sensation, then you'd probably ignore it, and then that's the worst thing you could do, is ignore that sort of thing. And also, introspection and powers of the mind do help your health positively. And that's not a new age supernatural idea. That's a scientifically proven idea. For example, when I help with the cancer patients,
mm-hmm.
One of the things I do, with the first things I do, is show them a picture of a white blood cell, their immune cells.
Yeah.
And I show them that picture of that because there have been experiments proving that simply seeing a picture of your white blood cells increases your white blood cell count in your blood.
Oh, wow.
That can be measured. That can be, that's proven. That's science. That's not hokum. That's not new age. That's not supernatural. Anything like that.
Yeah.
That's a proven fact. And so just the power of imagination and being mindful and paying attention to your body does help your health. And so that's one of the reasons that I believe that people should be more introspective.
Have you ever hypnotize someone and actually come across a perhaps formerly unknown dark part of that person?
Not really. I've had surprises.
Ooh, tell me.
Nothing like horror movie worthy. Or anything like that, but...
you know that's where my mind was going to go.
Yeah. I should have just made something up. Yeah.
Shut up. Like, what surprises?
Just like sometimes someone will remember something that they had forgotten, or someone will say something that... let's see, one of the biggest ones... Some lady had a problem with pain. Mm-hmm. And it turns out, I eliminated the pain, but she wanted the pain.
Oh,
and that,
yeah.
That's an interesting idea of somebody wanting pain. But there are, like, psychological reasons for someone to want pain.
Oh, yeah, I've met a few of those people. To be honest, I have. If you gave them a cure, they wouldn't take it because...
Well, this lady, she had health problems, like, really bad health problems. She had, like, a really bad hip, but she was an older lady.
Uh-huh.
And so she would limp. And the first time she came into my office, her face was contorted with pain, and she was limping. And so I hypnotized her, and I took away the pain, and she left. She came back, and she was walking fine. She had a smile on her face. I said, "Oh, you look so much better. How are you feeling?" And she says, "Oh, I feel great. I feel wonderful." I said, "Was the hypnosis helping then?" She says, "No, not at all." I said, "Really?" "Because you look better." She says, "Oh, but do I? Weird. I don't know." And so so we went and delved a little bit deeper, and it turns out she had a tremendous amount of religious guilt.
Ah.
She had grown up in like a fire and brimstone sort of family. You know, uh-huh. You're going to hell if you're not a good enough Mormon. She's Mormon, yeah.
Yeah.
And she had that sort of mindset, and so she felt that the pain was some sort of penance.
Oh.
And that was a surprise to her. That was a surprise to me because, you know, I was just trying to help her relax and trying to figure out what the problem was.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden she, I don't remember the exact conversation, but she was hypnotized and she said something like, I said, "Tell me about the last time you were in pain. Tell me what was going on in your mind." She says, she was playing with her grandkids. All of a sudden she was afraid to go to hell.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. Terrible, terrible.
Yeah.
Religious feelings of this. And so I just helped her. It's not your place as a hypnotist to tell someone what they should feel. That really is not. And then that's, you know, even though I think that's a terrible thing to think.
Yeah.
It's really not my place at all to say you should feel this and not feel that. That's not my place at all. So I just helped her explore those feelings a little bit. And she kind of, she was unaware of them consciously.
Yeah.
And so exploring them did help her quite a bit. Now, that was just me helping her to be a little bit more introspective.
Oh, yeah.
And that helped her quite a bit on the mental, psychological side, as well as her physical pain feelings.
What about, can hypnotism help with, like, self-sabotage? Or, like, you know, we've been hearing it a lot lately, the fear of success.
Yeah.
Or some, you know, people just can't
help
but be bad for themselves, you know what I mean? So hypnotism can help that?
Yeah, it can. And that hypnotism is kind of just the introspection.
I'm going to need you to put me under later.
Future success. Hypnotism is just kind of the tool for introspection. And if you really kind of analyze your feelings, you don't need to be hypnotized.
Mm-hmm.
But it helps. You know, it's a tool, just like a lot of other tools. And I get a lot of that in helping athletes.
Oh, I bet.
I've helped a few athletes. And one of them was a... he was an Olympic speed skater.
Mm-hmm.
And I he wanted me to hypnotize him right before the trials, and he apparently, when he's alone and no one's watching him, he can break records.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, he says that he's broken, like, the United States record before.
Yeah.
When there was no official judges present to watch this. And so it doesn't count.
Right.
Because he can say anything. I was by myself and I kicked everyone's ass. but for some reason, every time he's in competition, when there's someone official timing him, he chokes up and he can't do it. He gets nervous and stuff like that, and it turns out it was some sort of fear of success a little bit. He did explore those feelings, and it turned out it's not anything like too terribly interesting for me to talk about, but that's basically what it was. Fear of success, you know, causing him to be nervous like that. But it's easiest to point that sort of the fear of success out in an athlete,
mm-hmm.
because that's the easiest to measure.
Right.
You know, you can say, oh, I'm fear of success because I don't have a job. And that's not really easy to measure.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can say, oh, I shaved 10 seconds off my speeding time because of my fear of success. That's easy to measure, right?
Right.
But it does exist in everybody. And it might turn out that maybe you don't really want it. It might turn out you don't really want what you think you're after. It might turn out that you do want it, but there's something else about it that you don't want. Like, you don't like the competition.
Oh.
You don't want to beat anyone else. Things like that.
Yeah.
So there could be a lot of things. And in my opinion, there are a lot of things that are unexpected.
Oh, yeah, I imagine.
Yeah. They're unexpected to you for a lot of reasons. A lot of times you are aware of what's holding you back, but for some reason it's just you're not aware of something about it.
Yeah.
Or something like that. You're aware that it's there, but you think that everyone has it.
Uh-huh.
Things like that, you know. It's really hard to explain, but
I think I get it. Now, when someone is being introspective and doing self-hypnosis, versus like going to a certified hypnotist, do you think it's easier to have that outside help to like bypass the ego or break through the ego than when someone is working with themselves?
It can be in certain situations. Yeah. I'm like a personal trainer.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can say, I can do 500 push-ups at a time when you're not really bending your elbows.
Right, yeah.
you can do that. And, you know, if you sat down and thought about it long and hard enough, you would understand you're not doing a proper push-up.
Mm-hmm.
But it is faster and easier if someone were to point that out to you for you. And in some circumstances, it is easier to have someone else point something out to you that's obvious to someone outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be achieved by yourself also.
Oh, okay.
So
I
a
imagine
lot of things,
it'd be harder.
Yeah, a lot of things are harder. Yeah, a lot of things are harder. but it can be done.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, it might not be something that someone else from the outside can see or realize. So some things can't be really pointed out by someone, an outside observer.
Yeah.
But they can be noticed by you, yourself.
Yeah, actually, who knows you better than you?
Right.
Although yeah. I think a lot of people are in denial about their own selves, their
right,
own
yeah.
true selves, I think.
Exactly.
Because of the ego.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But everyone's different. It's a big,
sure.
wide, beautiful world. And if the hypnotizing people has taught me one thing, is that everyone's different. No one is the same. No two clients are the same. Everyone's different.
That's crazy.
And so you can't come in with like a checklist of, okay, you do this and that, and then they're cured next client. It's nothing like that. Everyone's different. Everyone's different. So even very similar people are different. Cannot be approached in the same manner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, what... If someone is going to or shopping around for a hypnotist, what to look out for, what to avoid?
Oh, geez. You know what? Hypnosis, unfortunately, is very unregulated by any state. And in a way, that's fortunate. In a way, that's not. Because you have to have a license to be a, like a hairstylist.
Right.
But there's no
even
license.
Even a pet groomer.
You have to have a license to cut your dog's hair, you know? But you don't have to have a license.
Your subconscious.
Yeah, exactly. And there are horror stories. One of the most famous ones, there have been several of people going to a psychologist.
Uh-huh.
Or a hypnotist, and being hypnotized, and out of either straight-out malice or out of incompetence, the hypnotist has implanted false memories.
Oh, yes.
And there's horrible stories. One of the most famous ones is of a girl. She went to a hypnotist because of anxiety,
uh-huh.
and the hypnotist uncovered, quotation things, uncovered false memories about her parents being Satanists and using her in rituals in which she remembered being raped by her parents and getting pregnant by the age of like 11, and then her father aborting the baby and making her eat it, and ridiculously like her father killed some of her friends from school and satanic rituals and all sorts of horrible things, and in fact, her parents were arrested for this.
Oh, shit.
But they were later released after the girl who said she went through all this went to a doctor and found she was a virgin.
Ah.
And so then they thought, well, something's not right here. Yeah. And that's probably one of the most extreme cases I've ever read of, but there's a lot of similar ones. Maybe not that extreme, but very similar. Like where false memories have really destroyed people's lives.
Oh, I imagine, yeah.
And either the hypnotist ruins people's lives out of straight malice or out of incompetence. And it's really hard to spot who's going to be a good hypnotist and who's going to be a bad hypnotist.
Have you ever read Whitley Strieber's Communion?
No, I haven't.
He, after quite a few incidences, he believed he was being visited or abducted by aliens.
Oh, yeah.
And so he went to a hypnotist, but he very carefully chose his hypnotist.
Uh-huh.
He chose one who did not believe in aliens or aliens abductions.
Oh, wow.
So to get, you know, as most honest results possible in such a situation. But I thought that was very cool. But so let's just say, like, I don't know how to word this.
Well, a lot of people they feel obligated to, like if you go to a hairstylist and she did a bad job one time, you might feel a little bit obligated to give her a second chance, or say, oh, well, I'm not happy about this, but if she does any worse, then I'll go. And you feel a lot about that. If you just feel a bit more choosy about a hypnotist, like if you go and if you're not happy, even if you're not impressed, try someone different.
Yeah.
But it depends on what you're going to the hypnotist for also.
Are there any straight warning signs?
Yeah. They're hard for the layperson to catch.
Yeah.
If the person is pushing anything on you, like if the person believes in aliens and says, oh, when's the first time you believe you were abducted? Or anything like that. Then he's probably pushing you in a direction where you should be just asking and following.
Oh, okay.
So anything like that. Any sort of preconceived notions that the hypnotists have could be dangerous for you. A lot of hypnotists believe in supernatural phenomena, which I don't believe, or I don't know if they're true or not. But if the hypnotist believes in them, it's possible they might influence you in that direction too.
And they might not even be meaning to.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. They might not even try to do it, but they do it on by mistake or something like that. That's possible. And so it's best to have like the communion example.
Yeah.
The most open minded possible hypnotist there. But again, it depends on what you're going for. If you want to go to quit smoking, it's pretty difficult to screw that up, honestly. I've met people who have gone for pain, and I've met several people actually who went to hypnotists for pain, and they believe that all hypnotists are crap because they went to one bad hypnotist.
Oh.
I've met a lot of that, and that's very frustrating for me, but there's really not much I can do about that. I could try to convince her, I'm different, I'm not.
Yeah.
But you know, they had a bad experience once. And that's terrible. If someone reads off of a sheet or out of a book to you, that's like reading a script. That's the sign of a novice.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but you know, that's not an expert.
Right.
And you probably shouldn't be paying full price for that. or you should be at least be aware that person's a beginner.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you want to go back to that person, and that person still reads from another sheet, then that's really a pastime. Sometimes I do read from a sheet every now and then, but not often.
Yeah.
And it's only in special circumstances, like someone will say something that perks something up, and then I'll look through my books.
Yeah.
Oh, I have something perfect for that, you know.
So how does, can you walk us through the steps of self-hypnotizing?
Oh, yes,
for those
yes.
who have never done it before?
It is very similar to meditation.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of the techniques are very similar. Hypnosis is focused, intense, focus, and at the same time, relaxation. So when you feel that at any time, then you are in a trance.
Sorry, didn't interrupt.
No, you're fine.
As you can tell, we haven't practiced this interview at all. This is all we get. If you self-hypnotize, can you ask yourself questions like, why can't I do this, or why am I not able, or why hasn't this happened? Or?
Yes, you can. That's not always the best thing to do. But yeah, if you want to do that, what you do is you write stuff down, whatever goals you want to go through, and your subconscious is very, very good at taking care of you. For example, if you say, oh, okay, I want to finish in exactly 10 minutes, most people have a surprisingly good internal clock. And if you try it, then chances are you will come out very close to exactly 10 minutes. It's eerie, you know. A lot of people can get within seconds of 10 minutes. Yeah, it's very good. So if you have certain goals you want to go through, like why can't I do this? Or why am I still smoking? Or you want to analyze this or that memory a little bit better. Then, yeah, it's best to write them down and then go over them right before you go into trance.
Okay.
And sort of map out your mental plan. Like, first I'm going to relax by doing this or that. Then I will ask myself these or those questions. And then I will come up in exactly X amount of time.
Hmm.
And that usually is very good. That's usually very reliable. Yeah. Your subconscious mind is very, very good at taking care of you.
Yeah.
And going through these procedures as long as you want to do them, as long as you go through them in your mind, and you have clearly in your mind before you get started, you're going to do this and that.
Can you walk us through the steps of self-hypnosis?
Sure, sure. There's a lot of steps, a lot of different techniques, and they're very varied. And so if I say something that's not exactly the same as someone else has heard, then that's okay. It's just a different technique. It's just the same path, a different path of going to the same place.
That's a very good way of wording it.
Thank you. My favorite technique is the breathing exercises. What I do is I'll close my eyes and relax and get in a position where you can relax. Well, first I go through the procedure, like, okay, I want to relax for X amount of time, and I want to explore these or those feelings, ask myself these or those questions, or whatever you want to do. And then I will get in a relaxed position, and then I'll close my eyes, and then I will take a deep breath as deep as I can take it and hold it for 5 seconds, for the mental count of five, and then let it go. And then you increase the goal, like you take a deep breath as deep as you can take, then you hold it for 5 seconds, then you imagine all of your tensions being released with the breath. Then I go to a breathing technique where you breathe in for the mental count of start off with six. Then you hold it for the mental count of three. Then exhale for the mental count of six. And then you do that over and over and over and over again. As long as you do that and you focus on the breath, you will go into a trance. As long as you are not intoxicated by any psychotropics, like recreational drugs or pain relievers or psychotropic drugs or anything like that. As long as you're not doing anything like that, then you will go into a trance. You will force yourself to go into a trance. You may not realize it because there's no one there to make your foot stick to the floor.
Right.
Or no one to burn you with a spoon or anything like that. You may not recognize the signs of trance in yourself, but you will be in a trance. And then once you feel you're nice and relaxed, or you've picked out, like, okay, after 5 minutes of breathing techniques, you will ask yourself this or that question, then you can do that. And then it's important to bring yourself up slowly. Mm. You know, if you could, like, if the house were to catch on fire and you smelled smoke, you could come out instantly.
Right.
I should address that. Yeah, it is a myth that you can be stuck in hypnosis.
Right.
Whether someone else is hypnotizing you, whether you're hypnotizing yourself, you cannot be stuck in hypnosis no matter what the circumstances. And so, like, if a burglar were to break in your door right then, you would wake up just like you would any time.
Yeah.
In fact, your senses are heightened in a state of relaxation.
Okay.
So you would hear all those outside noises and you would be able to deal with those even better than you would be when you're fully conscious. You cannot be stuck. It's a natural state. You cannot be stuck in it, and it's perfectly safe. There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing bad can happen with it. And it's a very healthy thing to do, both physically and mentally. So I highly recommend trying it. Even before you go to sleep at night, it helps you go to sleep if you're having trouble sleeping. And nothing bad will happen. There's a lot of myths about this, but you cannot be stuck. You cannot think that you are a dog. You cannot get the idea that you are a chicken or anything like that. That's all ridiculous. Nothing bad will happen. That's the only positive things can come of that.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us today.
You're very welcome.
The dog does not appreciate your time here.
Well, thank you for having me. It was fun.
Thank you.